You're listening to Enterprise Software Unwrapped, an audio download from Information Age and sponsored by TIBCO. Enterprise Software Unwrapped is a series of six short audio programs produced monthly in which we explore some of the current issues and emerging technologies in enterprise software today. To find out more and for details on how to automatically receive updates direct to your MP3 player, visit information-age.com/infocasts.
Hello, my name is Andrew Lawrence and I'm the Editorial Director of Information Age, and welcome to this podcast on the service-oriented architecture in practice. Now, if I say to you SOA, there's a good chance you'll say, oh no, not again. If you work in corporate IT, you'll have heard all the hype and all the promises. More agility, faster development, more control, better reuse, big cost savings, more efficiency, and so on and so on. SOA is truly a panacea. As it happens, almost every expert I've spoken to thinks that the hype is not misplaced and that SOA is the real deal. Complicated, yes, challenging, often misunderstood, but the real deal. But today we're not going to talk about hype. We're simply going to ask, 2 to 3 years into this corporate SOA project, how is it going so far? Let's start with some data that's just in. Each year, as part of its effective IT program, Information Age asks a large group of corporate IT managers and professionals what works and what doesn't. On the subject of SOA, the 2007 results are really surprising, pleasantly surprising. From our sample of about 700, just under a third, about 30%, said they have adopted a service-orientated architecture in whole or part. That's in keeping, I think, with industry expectations. The surprising part, to this naturally sceptical presenter anyway, is that just 7.5% thought they had not benefited. The rest, 92.5%, said SOA improved service levels or saved money or both. 13% it had done both and had been, in quotes, very effective. Good news. So let's put some flesh on that. During a recent event in London, I had the opportunity to talk to representatives from three parties involved in SOA, a customer, an analyst, and the chief marketing officer of a leading SOA technology provider, TIBCO. I asked each of them whether SOA is living up to its billing. I started with Ram Menon, TIBCO Software's Chief Strategist and Executive Vice President for Worldwide Marketing.
I think we have mixed results, a little bit of yes and a little bit of no. A little bit of yes for folks who have been methodical and realistic about how to manage, create a service enablement platform and deploy it. No for folks who have grabbed this as a panacea and kind of embraced it immediately as the answer for everything related to the architecture problems. So I think we're very early in the stage of where SOA is, and there's bound to be a little bit of confusion. But for folks who have done it right, I think there are great benefits.
Neil Ward-Dutton of Master Ward-Dutton Advisors, an analyst company specializing in business and IT alignment, also began his answer with yes and no.
Yes and no. And I was probably bound to say that, wasn't I? I've certainly seen a lot of very kind of unrestrained hype, which is not at all, of course, unique to SOA. So I do believe there's been a lot of hype, which has confused a lot of people. It's probably turned a fair few people off. But at the same time, I'm definitely seeing customers getting real value out of it if they can see through that and really understand what SOA means to their organisation. And I have seen really concrete examples of that happening. So I think that's the really good news.
So what both these experts are saying is that the benefits are there if you get it right and plan and implement carefully. This concurs with a lot of the research. There are the occasional failures, but SOA works when it's done right. Plan carefully. What does this mean exactly? Let's drill into one company that seems to have got it right. Carphone Warehouse, the large and rapidly expanding British-based mobile phone and internet service provider. I spoke with David Byrne, head of architecture at the company. At Carphone, the SOA project started in 2005 for good business reasons.
We had a series of in-house applications that had been running the business for 10 years or more. But we found that more and more we needed to be able to mix business process from different lines of business. So insurance and retail, billing, telecoms. And because we had process and logic that was embedded in these applications, it was very difficult for us to extract it. And it was also quite unpredictable. So occasionally we had, through kind of brittleness, unexpected effects of making change in one place. Over the 12 months, we've brought 30 of our key services live, mainly activations, credit checking, that sort of area. We have about 50 more which are currently in build and test, and about 50 on the ramp that are in planning and design.
So the big question, is it paying off? Burn is in no doubt.
I think we're getting some of the benefits that we would have expected from SOA in terms of business control, IT agility and cost control, even at this relatively early stage. We're seeing a lot of benefit in IT control, and we're also seeing benefits in terms of business agility where we can find alternate partners for some of the key processes that we carry out, fraud, credit checking, those sorts of things, payment indeed as well. And we can select between partners on the basis of their commercial offerings rather than on the ability of IT to integrate with those partners. In terms of cost control, I think we're getting more choice about where we build services and where we which partners we use to do what. We're seeing reduced total cost of ownership because we've reduced the number of different places that business functionality lives in. So instead of having credit check in three applications, we have it in one place, and that's one build, test, and release cycle rather than three. So it's working for us so far, and we look forward to working even better.
That's quite a long and very encouraging list of benefits. So let's ask a further question. What lessons have been learnt by Carphone and by others now that we're a year or two into the whole SOA rollout? Ram Menon again.
There are three important things that we need to learn about SOA. One is in the area of design. Be sure about what the business value is in terms of what you're trying to do. Second thing is adopt the right technology for service enablement of those applications that you want to disaggregate. And the third is make sure the business as well as technology parts of the organization decide on how this needs to be governed, or in terms of service governance is kind of the operative name. So those are the three main areas that people need to pay attention to before they proceed on an SOA deployment.
So there's Menon's advice. Business-driven design and purpose, the right technology, and get the governance right from the start. Burn's advice from Carphone Warehouse focuses on education, on starting small, and like Menon, on governance.
I think one of the biggest lessons we learned was to educate and communicate from the outset and educate everybody who will be involved just to the level that they need to be educated. So don't go into laborious depth with a part of the software delivery lifecycle that's not going to be involved for some months ahead. You know, focus on where you get the best bang for your buck, if you like. Try things early. Learn by experience. You put things in. Learn your lessons. Some of them will fail, but it's better to fail small than try and eat the elephant all at once and fail to eat the whole thing. I think the other thing that we learned was around governance. When it becomes obvious that this is going to be successful, the rate of take-up and the rate of production of services starts to mushroom. Everyone can build a service. So I think having the control structures in place was something we did a little bit late, and we ended up kind of having to run to catch up. And we have the processes in place now, and we're currently looking to augment those with the tool selection to help us to manage those better.
I asked Neil Ward-Dutton if he had any further advice based on his experience with clients.
To really get a sustainable kind of degree of success from SOA, the people involved in that have to balance a bottom-up approach, which is absolutely about working out what you have and working out how you can service enable things in a meaningful way, with a top-down approach, which is much more about saying, well, SOA can actually help us really bridge that gap between IT and business. And we see that people who can successfully blend that bottom-up, very much technology-driven perspective with more of a top-down approach, which is really about understanding the organisation and understanding how IT supports what business wants to do. Bringing those two together enables you to get quick wins, but also make sure that you're always moving towards a goal that is in line with what the business wants.
Elaborating on this, Ward Dutton picks up on Menon's point that organisations must have a clear business view of the services, what they are trying to achieve, and again, although he doesn't use the word, governance.
Success is all about understanding that you need to really link together everything from development through testing, deployment and operations, and also how you manage change. Those things have to be really tied together quite closely.
Right.
So that's another thing we've seen people really start to realise, that as they move out beyond the first couple of projects, really getting the benefits from SOA means thinking about that whole life cycle in, I suppose you could say, a holistic way up front, and trying to enforce policies and procedures and rules that get consistency, so that what you initially start out architecting ends up with the experience that people actually have in the field. And it's only then that you're really delivering a service if you can really line all those things up in a row.
So let's try to sum all this up. Have a business goal and a business view of the services. Design carefully, again with business objectives in mind. Use the right technology platform. Educate people carefully. Fail small and learn as you go. And never forget governance to maintain control of the services. The word business seems to come up a lot, and rightly so. But let's not forget that it's the technology industry that invented all of this. And I couldn't help wondering if the IT industry is actually delivering on its promises. We all know you can't buy SOA. But my final question is, can you at least buy the technology you need today?
Absolutely. I think the products are available now for different aspects of this. Realize it's not a revolution, it's an evolutionary step where people have to take it one by one.
That's Ram Menon of TIBCO, which of course supplies an integration platform. But David Byrne agrees, the technology industry is fulfilling on its promises. You can't buy SOA, but you can buy the platform that you need to make a start.
I think one of the main benefits that we've seen in terms of our ability to source the infrastructure and the software to support this approach has been that we can pick a lot of it off the shelf. We had an integration platform built in-house that was reaching some limits of scalability and performance. We could see those coming up, and our choice was to either further improve it or to go out and find an industrial strength alternative. We ran a fairly rapid selection process. We had a number of good choices, and we made a strategic choice as a result of that, which has worked well for us so far.
You have been listening to Enterprise Software Unwrapped, an audio download from Information Age, sponsored by TIBCO. To find out more about this and other programs in this series, visit information-age.com/infocasts. Thank you.